There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal.
Welcome to No Mere Mortals Cover to Cover Series. The Cover to Cover Series is a chronological journey through the moments in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, centered on the main character of Jesus Christ. In 2020, the Lord directed the start of the Cover to Cover Series that originally began as weekly installments for Sunday morning youth teachings at a local church. In 2023, the Cover to Cover Series will move to being a podcast series, and Lord willing, will continue to be weekly installments.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading today out of Exodus chapter 12. Go ahead and be turning there. As you turn to Exodus chapter 12, let me read for us Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. And it reads, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, I pray that though the situations at this moment may be confusing and just abnormal, Lord, I just pray that as we open up your word, spend time in your word, Father, that you would just speak to us. That this message that is from before time and long after its end, Father, this eternal hope that we have in you, would you speak to us by your word today that we would experience you? In your son's name, amen. Now again, as we've been coming through and looking through the last few chapters of Exodus, chapters 10 and chapters 11, we've been seeing the different signs and plagues and really seeing that there is this idea within Egypt, this ma'ah, this order that supposedly Pharaoh was supposed to maintain. That Pharaoh, believing himself to be divine, believing himself to be God, and declaring himself to be, that he was in charge of maintaining ma'at, or order, and that God is directly attacking that as all of Egypt has been thrown into chaos due to these plagues. And God is very specific that he is declaring war against all who would dare to call themselves gods. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." And so with that, we come to Exodus chapter 12, starting verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for his household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's seed, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats.'" And I hope you saw that even within that, this progression as we hear about a lamb, then the lamb, and lastly, very personal, your lamb. All of that pointing to a lamb, the lamb, your lamb, Jesus Christ. As Isaiah 53:7 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." And in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And in 1 Corinthians 5:7, we're told, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Exodus 12:6 says, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So again, they went from day 4 to day 14. So they had 4 days to inspect for imperfections without blemish. These 4 days, again, all of this looking forward, as we would see Jesus, who would come before the high priest. And though it was this illegal and just a complete scam of a trial, then eventually coming before Pilate, who would declare, "I find no fault in him," speaking to Jesus, of Jesus. Verse 7 says, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. Its head with its legs and its entrails, you shall let none of it remain until morning. And whatever remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire." So after having this meal, they would then take whatever was left. This meal was to be enjoyed and communal in the moment, and then whatever was left, they were to burn it, to end this meal with that burnt offering, as we'll see later in the book of Leviticus, this burnt offering, an offering of worship and complete devotion. Verse 11 says, "And thus you shall eat it with your belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and with your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." And as we hear about that, is again, it says that it's the Lord's Passover. And it comes from this idea that this Passover is not for him, but is actually provided by him. That it is the Lord's Supper as it is provided by the Lord. David Guzik puts it this way in saying that it's the Lord's Passover. The Passover was the Lord's in the sense that he provided it as a rescue to deliver Israel from the plague of the firstborn. As an institution to remember God's rescue and deliverance for Israel through every generation. As a powerful drama acting out the perfect sacrifice and rescue Jesus would later provide. Exodus 12:12 says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." And those capitals, L-O-R-D. Not emphasizing a title, but declaring the very name Yahweh. And Yahweh speaks. He says, when I see the blood, that my wrath will pass over. That the blood brings protection from destruction. Verse 14 says, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening." Now, something very interesting to bring our minds back and actually take us all the way back to Genesis chapter 8. As Noah has been on the ark and we're coming to the end of Noah's time in the ark and the water is receding. In Genesis chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, it says, "At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat." Now again, the ark resting in now the opportunity of new life beginning took place on the 7th month. Now in Exodus chapter 12, we see what just happened here is that the 7th month became the first month. And that month is the Passover month. And on the 14th day of that seventh, now first month, the Passover lamb was killed. And days later, an empty vessel declaring the beginnings of new life. As 3 days after Passover, we would see an empty tomb, the declaration and sign of a new life, just as we saw the ark resting on Mount Ararat on that 17th day. All those thousands of years ago, all declaring about the work that God would do for us. Continue on, it says, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings, and you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintels of the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his household until morning. Now what's interesting is we see that the hyssop, and again, throughout Scripture, the hyssop and the blood really being connected together. We see the hyssop at the cross. Again, hyssop in Numbers and Psalms connected to purification, that the hyssop was used for purifying. And in John chapter 19, verse 29, it says, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine and put it on the hyssop and put it to his mouth. Now again, as we see that this image of the cross being painted on the lintels, on the doorposts, with this hyssop and blood. And we're told that the people were required, they were told that the wrath of God would pass over if they stayed under the protection of the blood. In the book of Leviticus, we'll read about this avenger of blood and the city of refuge where a person who had accidentally killed somebody and then was found to be innocent could stay in the city of refuge where they would be protected against that avenger of blood. But it made it very clear, just as here in Exodus 12, that if you step out from underneath that protection, your blood was on your own head. And so again, the question is, will you obey God's command of protection for your life, to be covered by his blood, or will you simply step out by your own will? Verse 23 says, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and for your sons forever. And it will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now we'll come back to this next section, but I'd actually like us to, we're going to jump down to verse 43 right now. It says, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is brought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. Again, this is to understand, this is not just some ceremonial meal. This is not just a snack. This isn't just some elegant, tasty thing, but this is a symbol, a declaration of God's love and provision. Verse 49 says, one law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. And again, I just want to take a quick aside here in this moment to notice that. About God's desire that people who would want to be part of his family, they are more than welcome to step under that banner. But that they come in to take on his mantle, to take on, to be clothed with his righteousness. And even for a nation to have this openness, to allow those who would desire to be part of a nation. And yet what makes it very clear, even here in Scripture, is that you're not supposed to have one set of laws for foreigners and one set of laws for native born. That all who would desire to be free in this nation should come under that one law. That we have a constitution that's laid out that says, hey, we are welcoming, we want you to come, and you must come legally. And when you come, you're not coming to overthrow and to throw off the laws of this land, but actually that you will have the one law for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. Verse 50, though, says, thus all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. Now again, as we finish this section up, looking back at where we started, what was this? What was this Passover? What was this whole thing about? Again, verse 12. For I will pass the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment on the Lord. Remember, before this, Pharaoh, when speaking with Moses, uttered the words and declared before him, who is Yahweh that I should obey? A man thinking himself to be God. To all those forces and principalities that wanted to take that title and that authority and that worship of God, who has made it very clear he will not share his glory with another. What was the Passover about? It was God pouring out his judgment on the gods of Egypt to declare that he alone is Yahweh. He alone is the Lord. You know, in Psalm 22, it starts off with the verse, and again, back in that time, you wouldn't have titles in any scrolls like we would, but many times that you would know what passage somebody is by knowing what they quoted. And a lot of times, even that first verse would kind of indicate to somebody where exactly they are. And in Psalm 22, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And again, when we look to Jesus on the cross, wanting to pull everyone's attention to a certain passage, he quotes, not making a statement of himself, but declaring a title to draw everyone's mind to Psalm 22 as he yelled out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that same Psalm 22, verses 12 and 13, it says, many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. So as Jesus hung on that cross there, the pinnacle and everything that this Passover pointed to, as the lamb was killed, the blood, so that God's wrath with Passover is in that, he is declaring for us to look to Psalm 22 as it says that he is surrounded by these bulls of Bashan. Now, what's interesting is that the bulls of Bashan was a flat, fertile ground in the north, across from the Jordan. And yet, in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 13, it says, the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, the kingdom of Og, I gave to half the tribe of Manasseh. All the region of Argob, with all Bashan, was called the land of the giants. And in Joshua chapter 12, verse 4, we're told that the other king, Og, again, ruling king, king of Bashan, and his territory, who was of the remnant of the giants. Again, this giant is the word Rephaim. And the term Rephaim here, it means spirits of the dead or shades who inhabit the underworld. And so as Jesus hung on that cross, He's saying my enemy surrounds me. That this spiritual rebellion and its actors in these spirits of the dead or shades who inhabit this underworld have encircled me. They look at this moment as a victory. Again, once again, drawing us back to the Nephilim of Noah's days, the days of Noah, of these giants and these fallen spirits who, these B'nai Elohim, who come to this earth and they laid with women and they made these giants, and then from there who continue to lead this spiritual rebellion against God and have been. That's what the Tower of Babel was all about. Again, as God landlocked these spiritual forces, these spirits that declared themselves to be gods, who would usher men up to the high places and reach into God's throne to declare themselves to be gods. And God says at this moment, this Passover, he says, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Again, as those bulls of Bashan encircled, what was it all about? It was declaring, as God executed judgment on them in that land, to say, you think yourself to be a god. You think that you can take my titles. You think that you can take my worship. And he executes judgment to declare he alone is the Lord. And as verse 13 tells us of Exodus chapter 12, the blood shall be a sign for you and your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 15 says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. See, again, as Jesus was hanging on that cross of Calvary, the place where he told us, here, Yahweh, the provider, will provide himself a sacrifice. As Abraham took Isaac, and Isaac asked the question, where's the sacrifice? And in that prophetic word, Abraham looked at his son and said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb, the lamb, your lamb, a sacrifice. And as Jesus hung on that cross, surrounded by human and spiritual actors in a rebellion, cried out the words, Tetelestai, it is finished. Disarming them, pouring out his judgment on them. And as he says to us, when I see the blood, my wrath will pass over and you are protected from destruction. What is the Passover meal all about? It is the moment where we see that it is the Lord's Passover, as he has provided himself as the perfect lamb sacrificed to take away your sin. That as you place your faith in him, you are covered by the blood of the cross, and as God looks upon the blood and pours out his wrath on those rebellious actors, that anyone who has chosen to be under that blood and place their faith in him and his completed work is protected from the destruction that comes by his wrath. It is the Lord's Passover. Again, as he provided himself as the perfect lamb, sacrifice to take away your sins. Will you trust him? Will you give your life to him and know the new life provided by his defeat of those spiritual forces and death to offer you a new life in him, everlasting? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. Lord, as we look to your word this morning, would we find comfort knowing that no matter what comes our way, no matter what forces would declare themselves to be against you, Lord, you are on the throne. You will not share your glory with another. Lord, that you're not just a lamb, but you are the lamb. You are our lamb, sacrificed to pay the penalty for our sins. Father, would we live a life not in condemnation? You said you did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved. Would we live a life of gratitude for all that you've done for us and all that you have planned? In your son's name, amen.
The Cover to Cover series is part of No Mere Mortal. The No Mere Mortal ethos derives from the biblically grounded and inspired work of C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory. You can find more No Mere Mortal content, including the Cover to Cover series, on our website at nomeremortal.org. Follow us on Twitter, Truth, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and most major podcasting services. Subscribe, follow, like, comment, leave a review, and share. The music you've heard has been provided by Sicko, that's C-I-K-K-0, and you can find him at YouTube at Sicko's Beat Suck 797. My name is Bryce, and you are No Mere Mortal.